Welcome back. My name is Keith. I'm here with Russian Danny.
What's up?
Mike Fiella.
Hey.
And Charlie.
What do we got today?
Man, we got some good ones.
Got some interesting, a little mother-son.
Yeah. It's Mike so Marcus good. And his mom. A lot of getting loaded in L.A. in the 80s, 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And a mother and son crime team.
You know, that's what keeps family together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Cocaine sometimes. Can be the glue that keeps the family together. Here we go.
Yeah, it's a heavy endorphin release when you get away with shit.
I think for me, I love like doing the crime stuff just as much as I love doing drugs and drinking.
You know? Or together?
Oh, together, yeah.
Together.
And I would always be trying to figure out like, you know, like the next, like cool. Like I wish there's some stuff I can't, you know, talk about, but it's like just looking back at it, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah. So my last rehab, I've never told this story in a podcast, but the dealer died. So this guy, Jack.
All right, Jack.
He stepped on everything. And I remember Danny saying that he bought a kilo from him and it was fucking garbage.
The worst.
It was garbage. He fucking, it's like, this cocksucker. He had this great gravelly Bronx voice. This cocksucker sold me a fucking kilo. He fucked me. Fuck me. So I always thought about that. I was like, how dare that guy fuck my stepfather over? So I go up house and.
Jack's house.
Jack house. Jack. Cut out.
Yeah.
And I see him reach under the dresser and he pulls out the stack and he starts fucking counting it off. I'm like, oh, he keeps the money under the dresser. File that in the fucking. So I start casing everything. I start watching him. I see where he eats breakfast every morning. I see where he eats fucking lunch or dinner every night. And I'm like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I was waiting for daylight savings time. So it would get darker earlier because I knew once he went to dinner, he had this insane schedule. It was the same schedule. I watched him about 3 days a week for a month. I was like, oh, this guy's on a schedule. It's fucking no brainer. I crack open this back. I'm getting fucking high just telling you this story. This is how insane this story was. I crack open the back, run up the stairs. I've got a fucking, this really weird 22 target pistol, a crowbar. A mask just in case he's there and this fucking Nike duffel bag. And they're just fucking stacks and stacks. And I'm like, some of the stacks have been there so long. I'm picking up these rubber banded bills and the bills are falling apart. Like they probably got moldy. They've been
no
there
way.
So long. Dude, like gnarly, gnarly amount. I fucking put it all in the duffel bag. I'm walking to my car. This cop walks by me, flashes the light. What are you doing over here? And I'm just like, oh, I was just visiting a friend. He's like, all right, well, some activity going on over here. You may want to get home. I'm like, oh, okay.
What city was this in?
I know there's activity, motherfucker. I have the bag in the car, and I'm like, okay, I just got to go straight home with this. I just wanted to get home and get this money safely, but I'm driving up. I'm like, oh, I got to go down and buy some crack. I just got And I reach back. It's all behind me. I mean, it's a lot. I'll tell you how much it is in a minute. I pull out a fucking wad and I'm like, I'm just going to fucking get as much as I can. So I got like a G-pack and the same guy that I always fucking buy from, Happy, is down there. He's like, it's like Westlake and 6th, I mm-hmm. think. So I get it. I'm in the car and I'm just like, you know that breath.
Yeah.
Okay, I can get home safely. I get home. I dump all this money on the floor. I'm like, I can't count this alone. I call. Like, dude, can you come over here? He's like, what? I go, I just need help with something. He walks in. I'm hitting the pipe. He's like, what the fuck? You know I'm sober. I'm like, I know, but I need your help with something. He's like, all right. He walks into my office. I dumped all this money. I go, I really need you to help me count this.
No way.
So he's like, fuck you. I'm out of here. I don't know what's going on. So he leaves. I had a box, American Data Vault.
Yep.
Danny told me about this private investor's box. They had these things before 9/11, dude. You could put whatever in there. I call this guy. I was like, oh, I got to put this all in the box. I call this guy and I'm like, hey, is there any chance I can get into the box tonight? He goes, it's going to cost you $400. I'm like, no problem. I get there. This dude was intense. There was two American Data vaults. There was one there in North Hollywood, and there was one under the World Trade Center. That fucking, whoa, when it collapsed, oh, on there, shit, they lost a shitload of stuff. They lost gold. They lost microfilm data, yep, all kinds of shit. Yep.
Wow.
So I go there. He's standing at the door with two Tosas. Tosas are Japanese fighting dogs, but like 190-pound dogs. And I'm just fucking hitting the pipe. And I get there. And he's like, you okay? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I just, you know, a situation happened. And I want to get this. He goes, oh, you don't have to tell me anything. So he gives me this bigger box. And I just dump it all in there. I go back the next day when I'm a little more coherent. And I just start counting. It was 970 grand.
No way.
No way.
So I was like, all right. All right, so now I can get sober because I always wanted just to get $1 million. The idea was if I get $1 million and it's a little off, but I give her the key to the box.
No way.
And she goes, you went and got the money,
yeah,
out, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, where the fuck did all that money come from? She's like, oh, you know, I've been dealing. She's like, no. It was this box. And yeah, so that
got the money promises. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
She, that's how you paid for promises in cash.
Yeah, it was like 20, it was 25 grand. Yeah. I was like, this is worth it. I'm gonna die if I don't fucking get in there. But I never really explored that story in the general public. And it was so long ago. Oh my god, it was so long
ago.
Did
you get out and go on a run and spend all that money?
You know what? I desperately tried to stay clean. No, oh, yeah, it was worse.
No, tell them what you did. You bought a house.
Yeah. Don't make any big decisions in the first year, especially an $850,000 house at the top of the fucking market. But I went on a run in between that was brutal. Oh, yeah.
Very bad.
Because
very
I
bad.
Wanted to live next to my sponsor. He was living in a hotel. There's this little old weird hotel in Santa Monica, and it's like up the street from Casa del Mar. It's these little suites in Santa Monica. So I'm living there. Everything's cool. And then I fucking start drinking vodka again. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to smoke coke. I'm not going to smoke coke. I'm not going to smoke coke. And of course, I have three different people that will deliver to me. I don't want to drive downtown now because it's fucking a long drive. I get so paranoid at that hotel. I've got like 30 grand. I always walk around with like 30 grand on me just in case of what I don't know, but just in case. And I'd leave that hotel and check into Casa del Mar.
No way.
I swear to God. I check into Casa del Mar and I'm just smoking like a maniac. I call her and she's like, well, I told you, maybe you should just close yourself in a room with 10 grand and smoke until you can't smoke anymore. And I'm like, for some reason, it scared me when you said that, but I did keep smoking. And I smoked for about 3 days straight and my legs had all these fucking weird red spots on them. Or at least I thought that. And I call the concierge and I'm like, can you bring me up a bunch of track 3 razor blades? Because I want to fucking, I want to get these things off my leg, right? They bring up the razor blades. I put them down. I run a bath. I get in the bath and I fucking fall out. And when I wake up, there's no spots on my legs. But thank God I fell out because I fucking would have started shaving those things off my legs.
Oh, fuck.
And that run lasted about 5 months. For me, it was like ripples in a pond. It was like 5 month run, 3 week run, 10 day run, 2 day run. The last one was 1 day.
The last one was 1 day?
It was 1 or 2 days, which I used to make fun of people that did that kind of shit, yeah, in the program. Like, you're not a real addict alcoholic. You only went out for a day. And it was like, I think just because I was working a program, I got separated so quickly from fucking doing heroin and crack again that there was really no choice to even get loaded at that point, if that makes sense. Oh, that's crazy. I just told that story.
I can't believe how much fucking money that was.
Wow. It's so insane to see that much money. And then later on to be like fucking living at poverty level for years after that was so brutal because how much money did we fuck off when you really think about it? I mean, she had like $500,000 in cash when Danny committed suicide. A condo in Van Nuys, but still, that was 200 or 300 grand.
Yeah.
We fucked off so much money. A couple of million, all told.
Not on drugs and alcohol, just crazy living.
You know, yeah, what? It was crazy living in a sober state, but truly, I think it had a lot. That money was so fucking dirty.
Yep.
And I stole and I dealt so many drugs. I think there was part of me that couldn't wait to get rid of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy come, easy go. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I had a dude that I had a dude that would get cars, you know, like, and he was like a car guy. He had a whole like hustle where he would, I'm not going to mention his name or nothing, but he had a thing where he would get credit cards and then he would get like a matching ID and go to all the different rental places and rent cars. And he would like hit people up and be like, hey, I got an ID that looks like you. Come on, you know, and like would have like four or five credit cards to match that fucking driver's license. And go and like rent, you know. And the way it worked was sometimes they hit, sometimes they didn't.
The first car
you get goes to you. Second one goes to him. Third one. And we would just park them, you know, and there would be like a whole squad of fucking tweakers and junkies that are like doing this with them, you know. And it's, we would get these like crazy fucking cars, like $100,000 cars, you know, more, you know, just like the fan, the nicest car that money could buy.
Like Lambos, whatever. Yeah. Just
and we could, and then like,
but sell them?
Try to get rid of the motherfuckers, you know? It's like, it's the hardest, like, I could have gotten rid of, like, an 84 fucking Camry easier than a fucking, whatever, you know, S500 fucking
Maybe it was
Mercedes.
The neighborhood you were going to.
Yeah, no, it was just, we found one chop shop. One. I mean, doing anything with them, because people are like, oh, it's a fucking hot rental. Like, what the fuck am I going to do with that, you know? And then we'd be...
What year was this, Danny?
Not that long ago.
So they low-jacked the fuck out of those.
No, we had the fucking... we knew we would, like, find out how to get the things off, you know? One time I had a car, I think one of the last ones I had, and it was like a friend had it. He had it for a few months. It was a... S550 Mercedes, you know?
Wow.
And I loved that car. It was so fun. And it was
That's a badass car.
It's a badass
car. That's the big body sedan, right?
Oh, yeah. It was so fun to drive, you know? And it had this weird like panel behind the GPS where you would like press a button and it would come up and you could just stash everything behind it, you know?
Wow.
I fucking loved that car. Yeah. And I would always like keep it really clean, you know? Like I would make sure, because I was like, because that's somebody told me, like, as long as the car's not dirty, then they're not going to think anything weird with the fucking, with the what's it called? The dealer plates on it.
Right.
And so we would just, you know, like run. And I went, one day I went and I just picked up. And I had to stop by my house to like get some, you know, to get some utensils. I like to call them.
There you go. I like that.
And I came inside and I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to leave everything in the car, you know, but just bring a little bit in to like get a get well in. And then I'll hit the road.
Sure.
And I park the car. I come inside. I get one in. I come outside and I'm like, wait, where'd I park the motherfucker? You know?
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. And there was one other person that had the valet key. And I was like, oh, this bitch fucking, the one that gave us the car, you know? But I was like, just in case, keep the valet key, you know?
Right, in case
anything ever happens, one of us gets busted or something. And I was like, oh, that fucking bitch. She came back and got the car. Like, that's what happened, you know? And so this was, I mean, this is how recent it was. I had Find My iPhone. I had an iPhone with Find My iPhone.
That's very recent.
Yeah, that's like, you know, 7 years ago, recent, you know?
Yeah.
I track the phone, right? And I'm like, oh, all right, I'm going to know where it's going. And it's like, we were right off of Cahuenga and Franklin. And I see it, and it's like on the 101. And I'm like, oh, it's going back to her house, because she lived in Woodland Hills. You know, she was like this porn star chick. And I'm like, it's going back to her house. And then it gets off, and I just see it go. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? And I type in like the address, and it's the fucking rental place. And I was like,
Oh, no.
They came back on. I was like, well, guess I got to chalk it up. You know, and I just re-upped. Like all my money went into the re-up. My phone's in there. I had like a, you know.
But they didn't arrest you for that?
Which is crazy because my phone was in there. Like I had like a bunch of
stuff. They just wanted their car back.
They wanted the car back. Yeah.
No questions asked. Yeah. We're just getting.
Who knows? Maybe they didn't know, but maybe the fucking stuff is out. Because I would hide it
all behind the little GPS. Was the car stashed? Was the phone stashed in that compartment?
I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure I kept everything in the compartment. Oh, yeah.
Fuck it. When and you but it just like re-upped?
Just re-upped.
Speed or heroin?
Both.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A lot of both. Yeah.
Fuck.
And then like, but the thing is, it was always like so easy come, easy go. And then the fucked up part is like, and I'm living in these like really nice fucking hotels. Like at first it was like Momos, and I'm getting kicked out of those. And by the end of it, it was like staying at like you name it. We like the JW Royal Marriott.
Viking. Yeah. Oh, right.
No, it went from the Royal Viking to like the JW Marriott.
I saw that Royal Viking picture. I was like, oh shit, that was my spot.
Oh yeah, that's the spot.
Smoke
yeah.
like a king.
The spot. And then I get sober and I'm like, what the fuck? And like, I get thrown into a treatment center on like Crenshaw and Adams. I'm like driving like a fucking, you know, like a 81 diesel Mercedes that just fucking is about to blow up any second. I was like,
right.
Fuck, this isn't what I signed up for. You know?
Oh, sorry.
Dude, I had like, cause I would always, you know, like I was just always like move, like at any, like I had no, I was nothing like Mary's husband. I mean, literally the polar opposite. Like, I fucking was, you know, because I'd be doing speed. So I'm like, and I'm exactly like Mary in that, I mean, I drank every day from 16 or 17 years old,
yep.
you know, into blackouts. And at that time, you know, the 80s, there wasn't a ton of speed around. It was random.
No, that's right.
I'd do coke if you had it, but it wasn't my thing. The booze was. And then eventually, like, because I was just like a fucking defect with no character. So eventually I fucking, you know, when the speed thing popped off, it's weird. That's when I really picked up a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, wow. I never really had one before. I'd be like a weekend dude.
Right, right.
But then, like, with Mary.
But you were an alky early on. You
100%.
Drank. You were definitely an
alcoholic. Yep.
Yeah. Like, in the only two things that I would, like, I couldn't stop doing was booze and that freebasing thing I told you.
Yeah.
I would try to come up if I ran out of speed, but the booze is what I had to have.
Right, sure, yeah. Sure.
Because that's the only thing that really turns it off, you know?
Yeah, like, it's a spiritual thing for me. Yeah, sure.
Because if I'm good if I'm blacked out or passed out, but other than that, I got to be drinking. And But just like Mary said, I'll never forget, like, and, you know, I'd done speed when I was, like, 13. You know, like, the gnarly, like, Purdue biker crank. And then
my God.
I would do it when I was 16. Somebody would have it here and there very randomly. But when I picked up the bug, I was, like, 21. And I had done it with these friends of mine who were doing it who I'd talk shit to because I'd be doing coke here and there.
Right, right.
And I would talk shit to them.
You were a high level. Right.
Yeah,
right.
I really thought I was above them. I swear to you.
Of course.
But then I snorted a line of this glass, you know, that modern day speed shit. Mm. And the next morning, just like Mary said, I was like, wait a minute. I don't have a hangover. Yeah. This is
that's
great.
The difference, man.
So then I go in this wingding. Anyway, so I'm like Mike, I get into the hustle. I mean, not 970 grand, but I'm always on the move. And like my connection would always be like, dude, God damn it. Like, you got to quit trading this shit for, you know, because I'd always like have to bring him cash. You know, he'd front me. I'd have to bring him cash and shit. And I'd be
right.
And he'd be like, what? And I go, dude, trust me. I got all these power tools or whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he's like, Keith, quit trading this shit. But I could not get past the thing of like, wait a minute. If I give this guy $20 worth of speed for a handgun that I can sell for $400,
right,
that's way better than getting the $25.
Yeah.
But you know, you always get busted with the handgun. Something always goes wrong.
Right.
So in this instance, this dude pages me. It's dude Pineapple. And Pineapple's like, hey, come over. He goes, he had, it was 600 or 6,000 payroll checks. In a car, right? This Mustang. And this was in 94, and it was a 95 Mustang, right?
Wow.
But I head over there. He wants to sell. Oh, okay. I can't remember how many checks it was, but he wanted for the car and for the checks, he wanted $1,000 and an ounce of crank, right?
Wow.
So I go over there. Yeah, and I'm like, but I had hit my buddy, this biker dude I've talked about before, but I hit him, and I'm like, yo, Rocky, I'm like, hey, Pineapple has all these fucking and Rocky's like, don't fuck with those checks, they're hot. You know, like everybody was getting busted with them
already. Right.
Sure, sure.
So he goes, don't fuck with those checks, all right. So I'm sitting there, you know how we are cutting deals
because
I got the bag and dude, you know, Pineapple and his buddy. So I eventually like connived them into giving me, I gave him an 8-ball and not a cell phone, a cordless phone and $130 for the car and two of the checks, right? But I have this car and I have the keys.
For it's a like, 1-year old Mustang.
It's brand new.
It's brand new.
Because it's a rental car somebody didn't return. Right, I don't know whose it is. Right. I don't think it's Pineapple's, but it's got the keys. But, you know, so I'm cruising around in that thing. And then I'm like, fuck, all of a sudden I'm like, you know, like, I'm like, I got to fucking flip this thing, right? But I'm like, it's a brand new fucking Mustang. It's going to be a walk in the park. But you got to remember, I'm from Covina. It's like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, Fords ain't worth a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Only Chevys.
No, right. Old Chevys. Hell
and
yeah.
Dude, I'm like hitting up the Essays and Azusa and shit. I'm like, dude, fuck, give me $1,000. Dude, fuck, we can't do anything with that, eh? You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
And I'm like, I could not get rid of the motherfucker.
God
like,
damn.
And like, I come close, like somebody had a Ford pickup and they wanted to get that 5.0 motor.
Right.
But I couldn't get rid of it. Then my friend's girlfriend calls me from Whittier, this guy Will, who I'd met in prison. And Will's like, Will's girlfriend's like, crying and shit. Will's losing his shit or whatever. I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, I'll come down. So I go down there and they're in a hotel. Like, it's like, I think it was like on the 5th floor or whatever. And I cruise up. She's like, she's crying and shit. You know, and I go up there. I'm like, fuck. Cause I don't know. You know how it is. Like,
sure.
You go to Whittier, you're like, this ain't my neighborhood.
Right.
I don't know what's
right.
Hot.
Yeah.
So
man.
I get up to the 5th floor and shit and I come in and he's just like, shh. And I mean, I can tell he's on one.
Oh,
I'm like,
boy.
Fuck. And I look and there's a towel hanging on over the TV, just loosely over the screen, you know, and I go, what's the towel? He's like, shh. You know, he thinks there's a camera in there.
Right? Right, of course.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. And he goes, you know, he's like, I'll be right back. And I'm like, fuck, what? You know, like, you know how you are anytime anybody mm-hmm. leaves a hotel room. Quick.
Oh, yeah.
And he leaves and I'm like, and I'm waiting. And I'm
so
like,
it's just you and her.
Yeah. And I'm like, where the fuck is she still crying? You know, I'm like, he's going to be fine or whatever. He'll come down. I'm like, where the fuck is Will? And she's, it's the transmission bolts. And I'm like, what? She's like, it's a transmission ball. I'm like, oh, fuck. I look out the window. Sure as shit. Will's like, and he kind of looked like Beaker from the Muppets. But Will's on his back under his car tightening the transmission bolts, right? God. And I'm like, so I go to, I'm like, dude, we got to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're fucking blowing it or whatever. He goes, I'm telling you, these dudes are fucking loosening my transmission bolts and blah, blah. You know what I mean? God, I'm like, yeah, get the car. He gets in the fucking car. We're driving. Once again, we're in, it's broad fucking daylight. And I'm just trying to be cool. You know, I don't know the neighborhood.
It's so scary,
you know?
When that shit's happening in broad daylight. Man.
So I'm fucking cruising. And dude, we come to a light. And Will's just like, you know, every once in a while he's looking at me like, you hear that? I'm like, there ain't nothing, dude. That- fucking look out the window, right? Next thing I know, he opens the door at the light and he looks, he's bending over looking under the car. Like, because he thinks that somebody, and I go, get the fucking car. What are you doing? He goes, so brutal. He goes, those dudes, those gardeners. He goes, he tried to tell me that he saw the gardeners in the mirror climb out the back of the truck, under their truck, to start loosening our transmission bolts, you know? And I'm like, fuck. I fucking get rid of Will. I go back home and I'm like, I'm really like bummed I can't get rid of this fucking car. I'm like,
right.
I really fucked up. You know what
you
I mean?
Can't I'm like, even come up.
No, like, I mean, dude, I couldn't. I was like, I'll take $200 for it. Whatever. You know? I'm like, I'll take
for like a $20,000 at least. $20,000.
Yeah. I've driven it out here to these. I think you might have known these girls in the 90s. Nina and Kathy Williams, these sisters, but they both worked at Fred Siegel.
Oh, yeah, I knew them. Yeah. Because a bunch of girls would go out with the lads. There was a bunch
all
of
that
lads
shit.
There.
Yeah. But I cruise out to their pad and shit. And like, this car, I'm like, a lot of weird shit is happening since I've had this car. So I cruise out to Hollywood and I go to their apartment building. And they worked at Fred Siegel and their other friend Mandy, she did too. But we're over there, we're hanging out. And, you know, they would just party here and there. You know, they all had jobs. And
right,
shit.
Right.
But they're doing the speed and shit. And then they're like, hey, check this out. And I'm like, what? And so the manager from the apartment's out of town for a while. So one of them had taken over the managing duties and this dude disappeared. And they're like, check it out. And they're like, we're going to have a yard sale with all his shit because he hadn't paid his rent or whatever. And I'm like, and dude, we go in there and there's like a fucking stockade, like all this weird bondage shit. Like a four-post bed, a really beautiful like oak bed, but you could tell it was like a four-post bed for a reason. You know, there's different contraptions. And then We found two Polaroids, and one was of the man duct taped from his ankles to his mouth, like a mummy. He was alive. It was like
so he was breathing
shit.
Through his nose, basically.
Yeah,
point,
yeah.
Right?
There was a Polaroid of that, and then a Polaroid of him with a man's foot up his butt. And
speed.
So now I'm like,
meth is
you
just,
know,
wow.
I went to Hollywood to escape fucking Whittier, and now I'm like, this is too fucking weird. I'm getting out of here. So I run back to Covina, and I'd broken up with this girl, and she lived on a main street in Glendora, Grand Avenue. It's like the main, you know, it's like fucking Hollywood Boulevard up.
Right, right.
But she had some tool, of course, power tools of mine, you know, and I called her, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to come over and get my, and it was a little bit, you know, whatever. I wasn't a dick, but our breakup was rough. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to come over and get my shit. And some other dude gets on the phone. Like, there's another dude on the phone in the house. He goes,
right.
Fuck you, motherfucker. You know, or whatever. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, you know what, motherfucker? You know what I'm like? Right, we have words. And I, you know, tell him I'm going to sodomize him and all that. And I head over there. And I picked up this friend of mine, Joel. And I'm like, hey, and I picked him up and we're going there. Well, we pull up. And I had stopped somewhere, you know, because I'm on speed, so you get sidetracked.
Of course.
And I'm in this fucking hot Mustang, right? And I'm like, I was so hot and mad at this dude, and I call the house again. We have words again. Well, apparently, they'd already called the cops, and the cops were there, and the cops heard me say all this shit, threaten him and everything.
Right.
I didn't know this, but we hang up or whatever, and I drive over there. I'm coming up Glendora Avenue, and her house is on that main street. As I turn into the driveway, there's a cop car behind me. I step out of the car and I go, run, Joey, you know, and I take off running down this side street, her house on the corner. I'm running down the side street.
And you knew the area, so you could navigate.
I knew the area, but it was like, you know, it's a
still
pretty
difficult.
Like,
yeah.
Nice neighborhood. It's right. Like, and I'm like, fuck, so I'm running. And you know, like how sometimes the garages jut out in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running and I break next to the garage. This one girl I knew, Michelle Mitsunaga, I break next to her house. I'm leaning against the wall. And I see this, it was a lady cop, like in shorts with short hair. She goes running by and she's gone. She's past me. Like, I'm going to be good, I think. And then the dude who I was having the words with, he's behind her.
Wow.
There he is. Right. Oh. I'm like, fuck. She's like, get on the ground. You know, draws down on me. I fucking
holy
hit the deck.
Shit.
And I'm like, and then I realize I'm wearing Dickie shorts and I have a fucking ounce of speed in my right pocket. Right. But I'm laying on the ground because she's got me at gunpoint. Right. And I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's no way. I mean, I'm sprawled.
Right.
So they're waiting for a guy cop to come. He comes, right, to search me or whatever. So he comes and starts patting me down. And I was just like, fuck it. I just lean on the pocket, right?
Right.
And he pats me down. And he doesn't feel it.
It gets me up. I had that experience, yeah.
He puts me in the car. And now I'm in the back of the cop car because he's trained. You know, she's the arresting officer, but she can't search or anything. You have to
right.
Do it. So they fucking, and I'm like, and I'm literally like, that fucking car is cursed, man. You know,
and, you know, it's the Mustang.
Yeah, nothing to do with me being on parole, dealing drugs and stolen shit. They put me in the cop car and they're driving me. So, you know, like, I mean, I'm cuffed, but I get the bag out of my pocket and I shove it down the seat, right?
Wow.
In the seat.
Wow.
And we get to the police station. He takes me in. And he puts me in this cage. And that dude leaves because the chick's coming. The girl cop's coming to interview me. She's right. Arresting him. So she comes and she's like, all right, you're being charged with terrorist threats, grand theft auto, you know.
That's right. They did terrorist threats.
Yeah.
Then. And it was this was after the OJ thing.
Yeah.
That's when they started. Right, they imposed that law.
And it was a felony.
Like, that's right. That's right.
But they're going like terrorist threat, which I couldn't really fucking argue. You know what I mean? The dude heard me say it.
Sure.
And I'm sitting there like, fuck, I'm going to get broke off, you know?
Right.
But. Their question, and she goes, GTA. I go, what the fuck you mean GTA? I go, I had the keys to that car. Because that's kind of the rule. If you have the keys to the car, it's unlawful taking a vehicle without the owner's consent, which is a misdemeanor.
He knows his fucking rules and regulations. Right. Goes,
Grand Theft Auto. And I go, I'm not fucking, what the fuck are you talking about? I go, I had the keys. She goes, there was no keys in that car. I go, there was absolutely fucking keys in that car. And I fucking call my biker buddy again. I call him. Yo, man. I'm like, they're fucking, and he goes, fuck him. Tell him to find those keys or whatever. I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? So, and I have a parole violation. So I know I'm doing a year flat no matter what.
Right.
But, so I'm like, fuck. You know, all I'm thinking is the fucking terrorist threats thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, fuck. And so they're questioning me or whatever. And I'm like, where in the fuck are those car keys? I mean, I'm baffled. And I think that they're just lying so they can charge me with the GTA, right? And I'm like, this, and I call my friend. I'm like, this is fuck, man. They're fucking railroading me. You know what I mean? They fucking took the key. I go, and he's like, is the car hotwired or anything? I go, no, fuck, I had the keys. He goes, then you should be good. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'm like, fuck, and it's blown me away. Cut to, here comes the male cop again, walking into the police station, right? I'm in that cage. I can see him. And he's walking in. There's a kid with him who's about 14 or 15. Not cuffed, but he comes and he goes, here's that runaway, blah, blah, blah. And the kid's like super like, kind of excited to be in jail. It almost looks like he has pep to his step.
He's right,
like,
right, right.
And I'm like, and then the cop goes, oh, and here's the keys to that Mustang. The kid found him in the car, and I'm like, little motherfucker found the dope, too. That's why he was like, take me in, motherfucker.
So you put the keys and the fucking dope deep in the seat.
No, I put the dope in the seat, and my keys fell out, I guess, with it.
Wow.
But I was like, why is this kid? And I'm like, oh, word? Oh, you know, God. I'm like, he found it. Like,
wow. So you only had to do a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you did a lot of prison time, man. I did jails.
I didn't do a lot. Yeah, but the county jail is way worse than prison.
Yeah, you're right.
Way
it
worse,
was pretty
man.
Fucking horrible. So I have, I don't know, 34 days, some amount of sobriety that was totally fucking insignificant as far as an obsession to smoke coke went. completely insignificant. I get off of Deluxe. I used to work at Deluxe, Color by Deluxe. Get off. I go home. I'm living in this tiny place in Silver Lake, right on Duane Street, right above that little Tommy Lasorda Park. I think this is like 97.
Oh, Duane's that little street that like goes over, right?
Goes so, over yeah. and down right. to the
From
dog
Glendale
park.
To, yeah, to Silver. Yeah.
And my fucking neighbor, that was, dude, Silver Lake was gnarly then. My neighbors were all like 18th Streeters, fucking insane dudes. Like, I kept good with them, though.
Yeah, so 18th Street used to, like, run Silver Lake.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was 18th Street, and then it was fucking the Avenue. Not the Avenues. Whatever that gang was. It was the Avenues,
where
actually.
Where at?
No, it was.
Where?
Like, Echo. You know this shit.
Yeah.
Echo Park. And where Echo Park got divided by Glendale, and then the other side was like Duane. You know that big street that goes up?
Oh, yeah.
Would that been High Avenue?
Is that Big Tops?
No. Is that?
It's not 18th
La
Street.
La Mirada Locos? No?
No, that's West. No, that's Virgil. Other, yeah.
It was Echo Park. Whoever EP, that
yeah,
whole group.
Yeah, Echo Park. Park.
Echo Park. But 18th Street on the other side.
That Crazies? CYS?
Crazies is
not
right there.
Clanton. Oh, no. CYS. That's CYS, right.
Yeah. Maybe it's for the Crazies. Yeah.
So I go home and I'm just sitting there. You know how bored
we are.
I know that I know all these. Well, I was also in that California youth program, the fucking Pride House.
Pride House.
Which was, I learned everything about fucking, you know, I used to go home as a, they called me a strength.
No. Because
I was there for 18 months. So they'd send me down to South Central with like a fucking kid who's, you know, a Crip, but trying not to be a Crip.
Yeah.
They'd send me up to San Francisco to like, there was some insane, the WPOD crowd, the White Punks on Dope crowd.
Yeah.
That was up there. So I did all these different things. So I learned about the lingo. I learned about that whole culture. Back to the other story. I get home and you know how quickly you get bored when you want to get high and you're trying desperately to not get high. Oh, yeah. Like, what am I doing? I'm sitting here petting my pit bulls. I'm fucking, you know what? I'm going to get high. I go down to MacArthur Park. I walk up to the fountain and guess who's sitting there?
Who?
Doper. Colin.
Nuh-uh.
You know Colin.
Yeah.
So Colin's there just fucking gnarly looking and I'm like, I don't want to buy from this guy, but I'm going to go ahead because I got to keep this simple and I just want to get out. But he breaks me off really good.
Yeah.
Now I have no money. And the minute I leave the park, the cops following me. So I go to that Yoshinoya across the street.
Which just shut down.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was my spot. Down.
Yeah.
That was my spot. I used to try to eat before I smoked because I knew I was going to be smoking for 3 and then I'd take a hit and immediately throw up. So the and cops that, are following
that's what you're
me.
Gonna eat. You're gonna What's eat that? You're gonna eat fucking beef bowl Yoshinoya
or fucking Langers.
I can't figure out why you're throwing up, Mike.
Yeah. Right?
Eating like your fucking stepdad.
I remember taking a hit in the fucking car and throwing up on the windshield as I was driving.
No
I was
way. Like,
and it just all went into the fucking, you know, into the defrost fucking vents and everything. And that car had so much. And it would just get in that car and it would smell so fucking bad for so long. Anyways, I get the coke from fucking Doper. I drive, the cops are following me. So I'm like, oh, I'll just drive to Yoshinoya. Like, I'll pretend I'm buying something. But I had no money. I just spent all my money on dope. So I get to the window and the cops are watching me from across the street. And I'm like, I'm fucked. They're going to see that I'm not even buying anything. And my intuition was totally right. I get out. They fucking pull me over immediately. They're like, why would you drive through a drive-through restaurant and not get anything? I was like, oh, I forgot I didn't have any money. Well, we saw you in the park. What were you doing in the park? Oh, a friend of mine's homeless. I was bringing him a sandwich. I make up this whole story. They search me. I have on this huge fucking Pendleton, these old school Pendleton. They had these pockets on the side.
Yeah.
And there was a gang of fucking flat dope in there, like, I don't know, $150 worth. They miss it. I'm like, oh, God. They find the pipe, which is fucking a whole other thing. It ends up being a misdemeanor because it's less than 0.011, whatever that. I go to county. Again, they're checking me. And they fucking miss the dope because as they're checking my shit, you know, bend down, bend over, blah, blah, blah. As the guy reaches in to check the fucking Pendleton, the dude I'm in the tank with or in this little room with elbows him in the head. So they're restraining this guy. He's like, get dressed, get dressed. So I go in like, and they, you know, they ask you all these questions like, do you have any gang affiliations? Yeah. Do you have, and I like, I should have known to say, yes, I do. Because then you get fucking chill your own little spot. But they put me in the felony tank and it was so fucking gnarly in there. And that's one, like you couldn't sleep anywhere. There was one place to sleep with that little roll up shit fucking mattress they give you.
Yeah.
The one place was right by the toilet. And this huge brother's just shit, just sitting on the toilet, shitting, just fucking letting it go. And I'm down there and I have my shirt over my fucking nose because it's the smell in general is so fucked. And there's roaches on the walls. This is when it was really fucked. And the dude looks down and he's like, you got a problem with the way my shit smells?
Oh, God.
No way.
And I'm sitting there like this and I'm like, no, I have bad breath. I just don't want to offend anybody. He's like, you all right, man. Let me know if you need anything. I'm like, I don't need anything. I'm good. Yeah. And I sat there for 3 days and Johnny Angel, you know Johnny Angel,
yeah.
Johnny Angel Wendell, he was my sponsor at the time, came and bailed me
out.
And I still had those fucking rocks. He's like, I'm taking you to a meeting. I'm like, yeah, man, we're going to do this. And I had the rocks in my pocket. I got home. My dogs had been sitting for fucking 2 days. Didn't even think about them. Broke the antenna off the boombox. Found the chore boy and started all over.
No way.
Because that's how it goes. Yeah. Oh, Johnny, thank you for bailing me out. Well, you're going to have the fucking $700 for blah, blah, blah on Tuesday, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll have that money. I got to get some sleep. I didn't really sleep well there. So he takes me to the meeting. I go home and it's fucking on again, dude. On and on and on. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
The first time I went to prison, which, you know, like my buddy picks me up. I'm in Delano right above Bakersfield. And he picks me up and like we pull out of the parking lot of Delano, we drive, I can't remember, not very far, and we pull over
and turn his mirror on his car sideways, and we're just doing bumps
on the way home from the joint.
Of course.
On probation.
On parole. Like, I'm going to have to test in 2 days.
Oh.
It was awful.
It's miraculous that we're sitting here sober, all four of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you really like... I miss that gift
not
sometimes.
Not sober, alive, that we're sitting alive. Here.
That's
alive.
Oh, yeah. First and alive. Foremost, yeah. Alive. And, you know, I miss that gift sometime when I start tripping on stupid little shit. And I really just remember how fucked I was, stuck in that craving of just not being able to stop. And she caught me praying in front of an ATM once.
No way.
No money.
Wait, no, and no shoes on and no blisters shoes. This blister big feet, on his bro. Feet from walking everywhere.
From walking around MacArthur right. Park. Here was my idea. I'm going to go get my fucking Nova. I have this badass Nova that I bought from Ollie. You remember Ollie, Big Ollie from Lads?
Yeah.
You remember that dude?
Yeah.
I bought this great. I'm like, he was sober. He was fucking working for Rancid. He's like, hey, just stay clean. I'll fucking help you. You can come in, work with us, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, definitely. That sounds great. So I buy the Nova. Everything's going good. And I just fucking, I'm just going to run down and get a rock. I didn't even have shoes on. I'm like, I'm going to run it. I'm not going to wear shoes because I'll run in the park and I'll run out. Because if I don't have shoes, obviously I'm not going to fucking stay in the park without shoes. Like, that was my idea. Like, you know, just get in the car and go. And I fucking got stuck in the park walking around. And I called her. I was living on Van Ness at the time. In that
my Paramount studio.
And it was gnarly, this place. It was all like tranny hookers and fucking dealers and this huge guy named George. You read the story.
Yeah.
That's the story. That's where that took place. That weird, like, Greek-looking building with all the pillars and everything.
No, the white one?
Yeah.
No
that
way.
Was the place.
That by the stages.
Yeah, by the stages.
That's right. I know that
on
building.
On Van Ness.
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I always drive by there like, who in the fuck would live in
it
that
was
place?
So brutal.
You know, it's crazy. The last, and I was just thinking about this too. So the last day I got, the last night I got high, that was one of the stops I made. Was right there because I knew a dude that was staying there. I told all my dealers, like, I was so out of hustle that I was just like,
oh, dude.
I like called everyone and I was like, hey, I'm not going to ask you for a fucking front, but like, this, right. I need you to give me something, you know? And they were and then I was like, I'm going into rehab tomorrow morning. They were like, here you go. Good luck, motherfucker.
No,
you
know? Really?
Yeah, there was dudes like I owed a shit ton of money to, and I was like, hey, I'm going to keep it real with you. Like,
that place in 96 was so gnarly. I had to sleep with earplugs in. That's how many roaches were in that fucking apartment.
No way.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. I was living there with Tina, right? I was living there with this girl who was a fucking manic depressive, bad, like real fucking manic depressive, like, and we were smoking coke together. We had this pit bull and this little Persian cat, and we just fucking were just skimping by. Somehow I kept getting these disability checks that were like $350 a week, which was like gold to me because the place we were staying was $275, dude.
A month?
Yes.
No way.
I swear
that
to God.
White building?
Tiny little, it wasn't even a one bedroom. It was like a room with like an extended closet.
Yeah.
And these weird little like.
Shared bathrooms or did it have its own bathroom?
No, it had its own. Fuck. It had its own bathroom. Had its own bathroom. But, oh, that place was so
awful.
Gnarly.
God, what a mess.
It was so. And I had a friend in New York who was a fucking high level fund manager stockbroker. And he'd be like, oh, don't worry. I don't care if you're smoking crack. I'll send you a first class ticket. Come in and hang out with us. And I would go and hang out. You remember Walter Bruin?
Walter.
I would hang out with them like in these fucking million-dollar houses in the Hamptons, just drinking and insane. I'd come back to LAX first class. And go back to that place.
No way.
And just,
no.
Remember? And just be like, you know, like Volkswagen to fucking hyperspace and then back to the Volkswagen, you know?
God, it always ends tragically.
It is. And we're all here to tell the story and we're all right now.
It's great that it's so funny at the end of it, but God
it's
damn.
So
it's
so fucking funny now. Yeah, and insane and traumatic, but mostly funny.
But it's terrifying at the time.
It's terrifying. Yeah. This woman, the fact that she's here is just... Because she lost her brothers and sisters to the disease very early age, right?
Very early.
But they didn't even make it to 50, right? And you know, my sister OD'd and died in 2012, so we've gone through it.
I didn't know your sister, did I?
You might have met her. Were you an NA guy ever? Were you doing NA?
When I got sober, I was going to NA. I would go with like John G and...
Yeah. We were going.
And but then I told you that story where I was like, I kept listening and like, there's a lot of like racism and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I came out of Pelican Bay, you know? And I'm like, where even there, people don't talk like that. You know, like I've never been in a prison where there's more, I mean, that many fucking like N-bombs and shit. I was like, but I'm like, man. You know, people don't really, one, most people in prison don't really think like that anyway, but in there, the way that it would, it's not that they wouldn't share and drop it, but you'd be talking to them and they'd say something, you know?
Right, right.
Like, number one, I ain't your fucking brother. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right.
Number two, like, you're hiding from something. And I think it was John G. I told, but I'm like, and I started going like, these motherfuckers ain't no good. That guy's from fucking Compton. He would be back in Compton.
Right, right.
There's
right.
a reason he's hiding out in Hollywood, yeah. NA. You know, like,
yeah.
Interesting.
And I wow, had a wow, thing, wow. and I got in this thing, and I'm like, fuck, I'm trying to change everything. I can't fuck with all this nonsense.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
did you know Ronnie Kaplan, Baby Ron?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a good friend
I didn't,
of mine.
I didn't know Ronnie well, but I knew him.
You knew of him.
He's from San Gabriel.
Lomas.
Yeah.
Right. He's from Lomas.
Yeah.
Dude, I went on a run with him that scared the shit out of me. So, you know when you get off at the Cahuenga exit,
mm-hmm.
and there's that Japanese looking apartment? It's called the Miyako or yeah. the Mikado or something. So Richie Rich was living there. You yeah. know Richie, the editor. Richie was living there and he was trying to help Stone Temple Pilots singer
Scott.
Yeah. He was desperately trying to help Scott. This is early on because, you know, Scott went on fucking yeah. and finally Richie drives home. I'm with Ronnie. Richie drives up and Scott's standing outside of the sliding glass door naked looking into their apartment.
No way.
And Richie's like, Scott. He's like, he's like, Scott, go in that house and get your shit and get the fuck out. He's like, I can't go in there. There's 100 fucking people in there. He's like, Scott,
no
get
way.
Your shit. So me and Ronnie are desperately trying to stay sober, going in and out of meetings. We're hanging out with Gary, scary Gary from yeah. Venice. You remember that guy? So I'm with Ronnie. We're hanging out with Ronnie. And he's like, all right, let's go to a meeting. I'm like, yeah. He goes, no, let's get high. I go, nah, dude, let's go to a meeting. He goes, no, let's go to 52nd. And Figueroa, there's this amazing fucking dope there. I'm like, ah, fuck it. All right. So first he's like, well, you like crack too. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I go to you. He goes, not really. But, you know, since you're driving, why don't you take. So we go down to the park. I buy a bunch of crack. We go up to 52nd and fucking Fig to this. Dude, they had the weirdest little dope houses then. Like you would like we drive up. And there's this really nice old Mexican woman standing at the door. He's like, oh, hi, Ronnie. And she's got like an apron on. She's probably cooking menudo, like yeah. just a normal looking situation. And he walks right up to her and she reaches in her fucking apron, spills a fucking bunch of balloons in his hand. Crazy shit. We go back to the Mikado. He's like, you know, I usually don't like to smoke crack. It makes me a little paranoid. And I'm like, he's like, you know, because he was fucking in Pelican Bay. He was in the shoe for a long time.
Yeah.
He was there for, you met him.
Yeah.
It was so funny. You met him. He's wearing these long ass sweats and the big white fucking socks. And she's like, nice outfit. So we're in this fucking place. The whole look, you know, the chucks, the fucking, the whole look, the big white t-shirt.
Yeah.
So we're in this fucking apartment. He's like, yeah, I don't really. He's like, I probably shouldn't smoke. I get a little paranoid, you know, because I might go back to prison. I'm like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't smoke. It's like, no, but I want to, you know, be cool. We can bond. I'm like, dude, you're not smoking, bro. Like, you just said some shit. He's like, I'm fucking smoking. In fact, why don't we do this? We'll put heroin and crack in the fucking bong, maybe a little bud underneath, and it'll be fucking chill that way. I'm like, dude, that's not chill. Because no, the pot will take the. I go, pot makes me fucking paranoid. Yeah. I don't want to smoke. It does, right?
Me too. I hate it.
So we, I take a fucking blast off this thing, and it immediately fucking it's on. I'm a little paranoid. He's on the floor. He's on the floor looking under the door, and they had those peepholes.
Yeah,
you know those ones that move.
Yeah,
like you can move them back and forth, which obviously were made for fucking dope fiends.
Yeah,
he's like. That peephole's moving on its own and it's looking down at us. I'm like, Ronnie, I swear to God, it's not. He goes, you look at that thing and tell me it's not moving. And I swear to God, it was fucking moving.
No way.
And there's banging on the fucking door. I'm like, oh, holy shit. He goes, who's there? And it's his girlfriend. You motherfucker, open the door. And he doesn't want to open the door, of course, but she's yelling outside. The manager's office is right around the corner. It was so gnarly. He opened the door. He fucking chilled her out. Because, you know, these prison dudes get these girls and they just melt, basically.
Yeah.
Some of them. They're so codependent. They just want to be so loving. And she comes in. Everything's chill. I drink some Hycodin, that fucking cough syrup, and I go back to the sober living.
No way.
Jimmy, do you remember Jimmy, old school NA guy, ended up stabbing himself in the stomach?
Fuck, no.
He had a, you remember the place used to come and visit me?
Yes, yes.
Lawrence Tierney and me shared a room. Lawrence Tierney was the guy in Reservoir Dogs, the old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
me and Lawrence Tierney were in this back garage. I was telling you the story the other day.
Yeah.
In this garage, and we shared this room. It was a converted garage. It was like four beds in one part of the garage and two beds. If you got to the two-bed part of the garage, you're fucking up there. So it was me and Lawrence, and the bathroom was in the front house. So he was like, hey, kid, I really don't want to go to the bathroom. I got to pop a couple of gallon milk jugs in there I pissed in. Can you empty them for me?
I'm no.
Like, dude, I'm not fucking piss jugs. Come on, just you know who I am. I'm like, yeah, I don't care who you are. I loved you in that movie, but I'm not fucking emptying your piss jugs. He was a badass, though.
Dude, that's...
Anyways, there's so many stories, right? You guys bring it out. It's very inspiring to be up here. Well, because you I've known great. For a long time, and you have amazing stories. I've been listening to the podcast, and I'm fucking blown away by it. Because I think it's cool to come up here and rehash all this stuff from a sober state. Like,
yeah.
It's fucking
yep.
dope.
Yeah.
Yep.
We could tell all the stories we want loaded, and people are just like, oh, yeah, he's still talking. Don't mm-hmm. even listen.
Yeah.
But from a sober state and a recovered yep. state of actually doing yep. this shit, it's fucking, yeah. it's badass. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of It's All Bad, and you can follow us, please, on Instagram at It Is All Bad, and give us a like and give us a follow, and please tune back in to hear another episode coming your way shortly.
Also, download us and follow us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast.
That's right. That's right.
And keep coming back.
Keep coming back. And coming back. First one's free.
Yeah.
First one's free.
Give you a little taste.